It's been a busy, busy morning, but I will tell you this. I will say that God is good.
All the time.
God really, really is good. So we're glad that you are here today. Give somebody a wave around you, a smile, a wave that says, hey, man, you made it up. You didn't freeze to death last night, or and you're here. You're upright and taking nourishment. So this is truly the day that the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it as we gather together. If you're part of our online audience today, we're so glad that you are with us. Joining us in worship. Be sure to say hello to our very own Dr. John Cazito, who is keeping an eye on you over there. He's keeping an eye on us and keeping an eye on you. So everybody wave at Mr. John. We appreciate him and all that he does to help keep us connected, particularly with those that are part of our online audience. So as we gather together today, may we truly work at preparing our hearts to meet the Lord here in and through His Word. So let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin today. Father, as we come to you now, again, we're grateful and thankful that we have this opportunity. Lord, it's interesting, as I've been places before where people don't have the blessed opportunity that we have to be able to gather in the manner in which we do today, that we might hear your word, that we might draw close to you. And Lord, we think about those folks that all around the world are meeting right now at the same time that we are, but in a lot more hazardous conditions. Lord, I pray that you would just bless them. I pray that you would bless us. I pray you'll help us as we prepare our hearts and minds to be able to meet you in this place today. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us, and Lord, your word promises that you will do exactly that. You will speak to us, but we also ask, Father, that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to us on an individual basis, Lord, as well as on a corporate basis, and then we pray for courage to act upon what it is that you have shown us. So today, Lord, truly is your day. I pray that you will help us as we lift up our voices in song, Lord, as we come around you in your word, Lord, as we lift up our prayers. Lord, may it not be lip service, and may it not be just something that we do on a habitual basis, but Lord, today, help us seek you in a way we never have. And Lord, we'll be careful to praise you for it as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Hopefully not too many Dallas fans here. I am. 247, please stand with me as we sing Come Thou Almighty King.
Thank you.
in the house of the Lord with the Lord's people. And you know what? It's such a joy to be able to laugh. I mean, I don't know about you, but I love to laugh. And sometimes in this life, that's what you have to do to be able to continue forward. Amen. I always love what people say and the solutions that we come up with in the church for so many things. I know a lot of y'all may realize the clock is going back there. That may have scared you a little bit. And it actually decided to take a tumble. I don't know whether it got cold and was shivering or something to that nature and it fell off. But through every crisis comes something really, really good. We've learned of a new spiritual gift, and we're grateful for Don, who told me his spiritual gift was to be able to get up on Sunday and go, so don't worry about it. The clock's gone, but Don's got you covered. He's going to remind me of the time along the way. He's got me covered on that. So today we're actually going to be looking at passages that come out of John's Gospel, chapter 13. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn there with me. One of the things that we were talking about is what the future holds as we go in to the future as Central Baptist Church. And we talked about our acronym or whatever you might call it, the CBC, and essentially to be able to connect would be the first C. To be is to build up, and then the other C is to change the culture. And I know that is a term that scares people. And I know that what happens is when we talk about it, we talk about a culture. If you've ever spent any time around a program or whatever, somebody has said, well, there is a culture about working here, where there'll be people who just love to work in a particular place because of the culture that surrounds that. Now, you've also probably heard people say that there's no way that they want anything to do with a place because of that same culture. So we want to challenge the status quo as we go forward. We don't want things to be the same. We want to challenge to change the cultural status quo. And most of you know what I'm talking about. You realize that this world has gotten a little bit tougher, a little bit harder, a little bit meaner as the years have gone by. You have seen how people's tempers have become shorter. Well, we need to change that status quo. We can't change other people, but we can certainly change who we are. Today, we're going to be looking at a couple of different scriptural passages that come out of John's Gospel, chapter 13. And when people would sit back and say, what is the key to those particular things? John chapter 13, and I guess you would say our text verse for today is verses 34 and 35. So John chapter 13, verse 34 says this. It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. How many times in that particular passage do we hear love one another? Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we're grateful and thankful for your word. I pray, Father, that today as we take these few moments in your house, that you would truly help us to hear what the Spirit would have to say to us today. Lord, there is a message for each and every one of us. There's no accident that this particular group is gathered in this particular place on this particular day. So, Father, we pray you would speak to our hearts. And, Lord, I ask that as your messenger for these moments, that you would truly use me for your honor, for your glory, that the words that come from this pulpit would truly come from you and not simply mere man. So, Father, right now, we just give our time and our life to you and speak to us and give us the courage to react on what you tell us as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So when we look at these particular passages, one of the biggest things is that people would say, love one another. Well, I get that. Now, I also get this. I also get the fact that there are some people who are easier to love than other people. Amen? I mean, literally, there are some people that you want to reach out to love. There are some that you really have to try to love. You have to purpose to love them. And we can sit back and act pious all we want to, but every one of us have somebody in our life that's like that. I think they're there to help keep you humble along the way. So when we talk about this thing about loving one another, yeah, I've said this as well. Matter of fact, I preached a sermon on it several years ago. When I ask you the question, do you love your neighbor or do you just like them? There's a difference between those two. Yeah, a lot of people have said that before. Somebody says, well, yeah, I love this. Somebody says, well, I love it. I like it. And you know what I'm talking about when it comes down to the difference between those two. But the Lord told us this in his commandment that we are to love one another. And he said that you will know that they are my disciples. You will know that they are my people by their love. So essentially, people should understand that we are products of the Savior in how we love one another. Now, I said a moment ago, there are some people that are easier to love than others. Does that mean that those that are tougher to love should not be loved? No. Does that mean that we should go the extra mile to love somebody that's really kind of unlovable? Yes. Do we do that? No. Because it's so much easier to sit back. And see, what we usually do is we usually will say something like this. I don't feel like putting up with this today. I'm going to walk across the other side of the street so I can avoid the situation. I want to keep them as far away as I possibly can. But folks, that is not what the Word tells us. By the way, I want to give you a reminder as well. You know, there are some people that kind of grate on our nerves that are tough people to love, but yet the Word tells us this, that not only are we to love one another, the Word says that we're to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us. That's an even taller drink, isn't it? That's even tougher. But yet, the world will see that you and I are different because of the love of Christ that will come through us and will emulate to other people. Folks desire to be loved. Why do you think cults get so much traction in our society today? Let me tell you why. Because the people that are part of them love them. Why is it that you think that it's easy to go over to something that's ungodly? Because those are people who, believe it or not, will really embrace one another and love each other for who they are. And I tell you, it's tough. Now, there are also people, and I can tell you this, that some people who have loved me that are not believers, that love me greater than a lot of believers I know. That have reached out, you know, to me in times of need or in times of crisis and said, you know what, I know I'm not like you, but you know what, brother, I'm here to love you. And that's kind of interesting. The people who should be the best at loving people are God's people. Not only because he commands it, but because he puts it in our hearts to do so. Now, there's a challenge that comes up, and Jesus gave each and every one of us a challenge. He put it to the test, and he started with his disciples. And it's in this exact same passage of Scripture that we were looking at. Go with me, if you would, in John chapter 13, all the way back to verse 1. And we're going to see an example here. John chapter 13, beginning with verse 1, says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." You see in that repetitive word, he loved them to the end. He's talking about love here. And then verse 2, it says, "And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. Now after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, 'Lord, are you washing my feet?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this.' Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.' And Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash you, you have no part with me.' And Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.'" Now, when we look at this particular passage, it's probably not a new passage to most of us. The problem with it is that there seems to be a disconnect between what we have heard in this story and what we apply in our particular lives as well.
Now, a lot of us maybe have sat back before and imagined what this must have been like. You're sitting there. Yeah, you're one of the disciples. Jesus has come. He's told you everything that's going on. You have shared in this moment with the Last Supper. And then all of a sudden, Jesus does something that would be humiliating. Jesus does something that Jesus isn't supposed to be the one doing. Jesus actually does something that would be the work of a servant or the work of a slave. And by the way, it was culturally acceptable, and in fact, it was culturally applicable that when a traveler or somebody had come by and they had come into your house, it was customary that their feet be washed. Yeah, they've been on a long journey. There was the dirt and the dust. A lot of us, you know, some of you kick your shoes off when you go into the house, but this was just to, you know, get the feet clean for one thing, but it was also an act of servitude. Now, it's interesting. We've seen this a couple of different times. Jesus shows his disciples what to do. Now, if you don't think that would be humiliating, now, there's probably somebody in our presence today that has been part of an old-time foot washing before. Is there anybody that's ever been to one of those? I see a couple people. I'm not going to ask you, to come up and take a microphone or anything, but I will tell you, it is a very humbling experience to be on the side of washing the feet of someone else, but it's also a humbling experience to be the one who is having their feet washed as well. And what Jesus was telling his disciples is simply this: I am giving you an example of what you should do and how you should treat mankind. Jesus also went on to say, he said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. How many times through the word does he simply tell us things like this? He said, those of you who want to be first must be your servants. So are we serving? Yeah, it's real easy to get in the mode of wanting to be served, but how are we serving our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? I'm not talking about doing something that's of some sort of major challenge to you. I'm just talking about doing the things that we can do because God's given us the talents and the abilities by which to be able to do that. See, this was something that for the disciples was completely backwards. Jesus wasn't supposed to be the one washing the feet of the disciples. It should have been the disciples washing the feet of Jesus. And you know what Jesus is telling us today is this: be the servant. Be the one who wants to do the stuff nobody else wants to do. Be the one to walk with your fellow man down the road that nobody else wants to walk. Be the one that will pray when it doesn't seem suitable. Be the one that will stand by their side when the whole world turns their back on them. And I will promise you this, that when we love people in that manner, there won't be enough room on this property to hold the number of people who will want to be a part of what Christ means and is in their life, because you have become a very real example to them. And notice what we said. We have to make that connection. We have got to connect with people. You know, it's easy to come into the house of the Lord where there are a bunch of like-minded people and sing praises to Him and sing the hymns. But the thing about it is, the mission field is outside the walls of this church. I can guarantee you something, 100% guarantee today, this church will never grow ever unless we go out into that world and start reaching some people who don't know Jesus. I promise you that. 100% guarantee. You know what else I know? Unless we purpose to do these things, it will never happen. We have to purpose. I love that word. We have to purpose to do these things. Think about it for a minute. What does God say about connecting with other people? In John chapter 13, it says that we should love one another as Christ loved us. I believe that our world today has gotten in survival mode, including God's people. And what do I talk about when I say survival mode? We're just trying to look after ourselves to get through today so that we can make it through tomorrow, to try one more day to get through tomorrow. Survival mode. We're not thinking outside anymore. And by the way, that's not something that's just new within the church. Remember what it used to be like years ago. Remember what the atmosphere was around God's people. Remember, and by the way, that didn't mean they didn't have hard times. They had just as hard of times as any of us had. Different times, but nonetheless, hard times. He says this, that you should love one another as Christ loved you. How does Christ love you? We could stay here all day on that one, couldn't we? We talk about how good God is and how much he's done in our lives, and he says that we should love each other in that manner. The question is, do we? Honestly, most people would say that's impossible to do. Well, it might be impossible, but that doesn't mean that we don't strive to do it. We can certainly do better than what we do. That's one of the things that always frustrated me in life, when somebody says, I can't do that, and just throw their hands up and walk away. Yeah, or they try something one time and say, I can't do that. You know, some things you got to keep working at, right? If I picked up a musical instrument one time and tried it and said, well, you know what, I just can't play like Earl Scruggs. I'm never, ever going to play this thing again. Well, duh. You know how you get close to that? Said, I will never play like Earl Scruggs ever. But I can get a whole lot closer than what I am right now. You picking up what I'm putting down spiritually? Yet we're to be like Jesus, or to try to be like Jesus. We will never be able to be like Jesus, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't try, and we'll do a whole lot better tomorrow than we did today. So God says that we're supposed to connect with one another. Why does God want us to connect with other people? Well, in the beginning of time, God said it was not good for man to be alone, over in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. So he gave us relationships, and much of what we're to gain is that we learn and we experience from healthy relationships. You know, if you want to be better at something, then hang out with somebody who's doing it good, right? You know, if you want to walk closer with the Lord, then let me give you something really easy to do. Hang out with somebody who's walking close to the Lord. If you want to grow, hang out with somebody who is growing in the Lord. It's almost like an apprenticeship. You don't hear that term much in this day anymore, do you? Yeah, it's somebody who works alongside with somebody who learns the trade or whatever to be able to make it applicable in their lives to be able to go forward. Be that apprenticed, because someday the apprentice will become the teacher. And then you get an apprentice. You know what we call that? Oh, hang on. Multiplying disciples is what that's called, when you make it applicable to the Lord's work. God wants us to connect with others. And we have gotten to a point in society today, and I saw it. I saw it back at Christmas, and everybody knows the Grinch, right? I mean, you know, everybody knows him. There was somebody that had a shirt on that said, I'm not going out today because it's too people-y. It's too people-y. I don't want to have to contend with people. It's too people-y out there. Well, guess what? We are supposed to be the people to go to the people. We're supposed to get out there where it's people-y. We're supposed to get out there where it's ugly. We're supposed to get out there where it's nasty, because that's where the people who need Jesus are. That's the way that should work. But yet, we come into the confines of our comfortable church building and say, I don't want to go out there, it's too people-y. Now, church should be the place where you could be able to come and be able to take that deep breath and relax with like-minded believers. This should be the hospital for those sinners. You know what? It shouldn't bother us when they come walking through the door. It should be something that we jump up and down and shout praises for. Hey, man, we're glad you're here today. Hey, we're glad that you came to worship with us today. Yeah, how can we pray for you? What can we do? Now, you got to be careful how you do that too, because some people get scared off pretty easy as well. Yeah, you go up to shake somebody's hand today, you might get the, yeah, hey, what's going on? So approach it easy, but yet go. See, God does want us to connect with other people. So what does God say about staying connected? Being connected and staying connected are two different things, aren't they? Yet he says that you must be joined to me. What is the scripture that says? It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you stay joined to me and I to you, you will produce fruit. I am working on a project. I had a hot banana pepper plant that I had this summer. And it was outside. It grew me some peppers that I enjoyed wholeheartedly. So it's in a bucket and it's in the house right now. Because I'm going to try to see if I can get some peppers off of that thing. And as crazy as it sounds, guess what? I got me a pepper about that long coming on that thing. Will I eat it? No, I talk to it. But you know why I talk to it? I'm not crazy. But you know why I talk to it? Because plants take that carbon dioxide, not monoxide, that'll kill you. Carbon dioxide, which you breathe out. Yeah, I figure talking to it's better than going up and blowing on it. And I'm watering that thing, and I'm looking after it, and I'm trying to take care of it. You know why? Because I want that pepper to grow. I want to see it come to life. I want to see it beat the odds. I want to see it beat this winter to death. One pepper. Are you getting the spiritual connotation here? How many people do we want to see beat the winner? How many peppers do we want to see? And we need to encourage that. You can't just let it go. It takes attention. You got to water it. You got to take care of it. Janice said, what's on top of this thing today? And got ready to peel it off. And I was like, don't do that. She's like, it's just a flower. It'll be all right. And it was. But are we like that with people? Do we love people in that degree that we want to see their lives changed by God? Well, guess what? You are going to have to stay connected. I told you about my pepper because the bottom line is simply this. When you pull something off of the vine, it no longer gets the nourishment that it needs. It no longer gets the sustenance that it needs to be able to continue to grow or live. If you go and break a branch off of a tree, maybe an apple tree, and you snap the branch off and you still have the apple there, within a day or two, you're going to see the leaves begin to wither up and die. You will see the apple no longer growing. It's still going to look good. It's still, but it's to the end of its nourishment. You might as well eat it because now it starts the decay process, as it were. How are you connected to Jesus? Now, I know people can come up with tons of answers, but I'll tell you one thing. No, going to church is not what's going to get you to heaven, but I'll tell you one thing. It sure helps you in regard to your spiritual growth. You see, the only thing that's going to get you to heaven is a personal relationship with the Holy God through Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, who went to Calvary's cross and came through the grave and resurrected and has ascended to the Father and is coming again. That's salvation. But I will tell you this, you will grow when you're connected with Him. And what a better place to be connected than right here. Or in a good Bible-believing church where you can learn and where you can grow. And Jesus also said, go make disciples. How do you make disciples? See, we got that word and we interchange it sometimes. Sometimes we look at the word disciples as converts. Well, disciples are converts or can be converts, but not all disciples are not all converts are necessarily disciples. See, a disciple means to follow Him. And He also said this. He said, not only that, He said, disciples will create disciples because in that particular passage we just talked about, He said, if you abide in me and I in you, then you will produce what? Fruit. In fact, He goes on and He says, not only will you produce fruit, you will produce much fruit. So what kind of fruit are you producing? That's a stinging question, isn't it? That's one that makes us sit back and think, you know what? Your plant may have a stem and it may have some leafy greens, but what's the fruit? If I have an apple tree and it does not produce apples, I'm not happy. In fact, You know what I'll do with it? I'll cut it down. Oh, that's a biblical thing too, because it says those who don't produce fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Now, I'm not preaching salvation by works, because that is not true. Salvation is by grace through faith, that not of yourself, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But as his children, we should have a desire to produce fruit. What kind of fruit are we producing? You see, society wants to not produce fruit and yet criticize those who are. That's society. That's what they do to you. What's your fruit? If you had to stand before the Lord today and answer for the fruit, what does your vine look like? Now, don't answer that question. Not to me. You need to answer that question to the Holy Spirit, who just showed you a mirror image of who you are. Are you producing fruit? How do you do that? You have to stay connected. Are you getting that word, connection? Are you connected? Remember what it said, you're going to have to be connected to God the Father. You're going to have to be connected with each other. You're going to have to be connected with a society who needs Jesus. You have to stay joined together. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you stay joined or connected to me, if you abide in me and I in you, you will produce plenty of fruit. So if there's no fruit, then maybe you better check the connection. Maybe you're just detached from the vine. Something that's always amazed me, because I have never been a good horticulturist, I guess is what the word is, but how people will take sticks and stems and they'll graft them into other plants and they will grow and they will do some of the craziest things you've ever seen in your life. You'll have like crossed up fruits and that sort of thing. But you know what the really cool part is? When they graft it, they'll make like a little cut and they'll slip that little branch in there and then they'll tape it up or whatever, and before long it becomes part of that particular plant. It's really interesting. Man, I could go on a bunch of sermons on that one, talking about how we've been grafted in as the Gentiles. But you know what the really cool part is? Once connected, the nourishment starts to flow again. Once connected, this branch comes to life. Once connected, this branch begins to produce fruit. So we got to be connected. Why is it important to connect with other believers? Well, the Bible emphasizes the idea of Christian connection and fellowship with other believers so that we may strengthen our faith, that we might encourage one another and extend a helping hand in time of need. Boy, does that sound familiar? To build up, to edify, to strengthen, to come together, to learn with one another, to fight the battles with each other. Oh, because you're going to have some battles, and if you don't, you're going to. And you know the really cool part is, I can look out over this congregation and I've seen people who've been in the trenches with me. I've jumped in the trenches with you guys as well. And sometimes we're beat up, and sometimes we're putting one foot in front of the other one day at a time, but thanks be to God, we've been able to do that together. And there's something special about that. It is important for us to connect with other believers. And I hear that all the time. Well, brother, I'll tell you what, I can worship God out in nature. Yeah, you can worship God anywhere. But is that some kind of an excuse? I had a conversation with a guy one time, and he said that, and he said, well, what do you think about that? I said, well, don't ask me if you don't want my answer. He said, no. He said, I really want to hear your answer. I said, I think you're lazy. I said, I think that you're selfish and you're lazy. That wasn't exactly what he was looking for. Well, why do you say that? I said, because the bottom line is, you're too lazy to get up out of bed, for number one, to be able to go to church. That's one thing. And I said, and you're selfish because it's all about you. I said, you got to understand that coming to church is not all about what you can get, but it's also about what you can give. It's about being with one another. I've been in this church before, and somebody has really been having a tough time. They've gotten that new diagnosis from the doctor, and thanks be to God, we got a guy over here that I'll say, hang on a minute. Let me let you talk to this guy over here. He knows what you're going through. He knows what to do. He deals with it on a daily basis. And I've watched people's whole attitude change within just a few minutes, and that wasn't because of me. That was because of him. That was because God used him with what he knows, what his talents, his abilities, and his experiences are. No, you're missing out. But don't you dare sit back and try to spiritualize not being a part of God's family. That's selfishness and that's laziness at its finest. And listen, God, Satan's going to give you any excuse in the world not to be here. COVID was a huge one, wasn't it? Listen, I'm not saying that that's not real. I am saying you better get used to it because it ain't going away. But it was counterintuitive to everything that we know as believers. Don't do this. Don't go to church. Don't be there. Don't do this. I'm not saying that we don't have to be careful. But I am saying this. You can't just sit back and say, well, I'll tell you what, I'll just watch it at home. That's not koinonia, as it's stated in the Greek. That is not being a part of the family of God. You know, if that was the case, then, you know, I could have been a member of First Baptist Church Atlanta for years and years because I love listening to Dr. Stanley preach. But you know what? If I walk in the door, they don't know who I am. When I have a circumstance or a situation, I might be able to phone it into the prayer line and somebody's going to pray for me. They don't know me. You know what's really interesting is to watch how small groups grow together to love each other and to be a part of each other's spiritual growth, but even beyond that, a part of each other's lives as you serve the Lord together. That's what's special about small groups. That's what's special about little discipleship groups that come up. That's what's special about Sunday school. And those are opportunities that we have. But what do you make of them? You have got to be connected. It's important that we connect with other believers. And Jesus said some things about being connected as well. He emphasized the importance of staying connected with the Father and his disciples. He showed us those things. And he gave us examples. He said, watch what I'm getting ready to do. Why do you think he washed those disciples' feet? Do you think he washed those disciples' feet because he was trying to make a statement? Well, yeah, obviously he was trying to make a statement, but you know what else he was doing? He was leading by example. Metaphorically, how many feet are you washing today? And notice I said metaphorically. How many feet are you washing today? What are you doing to serve the Lord? And criticizing is not the answer. I've never understood why folks like to criticize those that are doing when they aren't doing themselves. Really interesting. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I just don't like how that's being done. And my answer is usually, well, what are you doing about it? Well, don't criticize those that are when you are doing nothing. Or when somebody comes up and says, well, you know what, I think I got a better way to do that. I'm like, great, when do you start? Tomorrow? Oh, no. Well, why not? Jump in there and be a part of what God wants. We're going to have to remember, connect with each other. We are going to have to build up the body through encouragement and edification. This world is trying to beat us down. Listen, we need to be building up each other. Don't lie to each other, but we need to be building each other up. If somebody does a good job, tell them they did a good job. You'd be surprised how far they go. Think about your Sunday school teacher that spends week in and week out studying and preparing that you might be able to grow. Think about your discipleship leaders that teach you here on a Sunday night, whether it's in here or whether it's over there with Awana, that give of their time and their effort and their energies and their lives for no other reason other than to see people draw closer to Jesus. That's cool. What about those people going on the mission trips that are saying it's not just here, but it's out there as well? I'm ready. I'm willing to go. We have got to connect. We have got to build up. And we have got to challenge the status quo of the culture. You know what? If we create a culture of God's love in this place, I will guarantee you, like I said at the start, there won't be enough room on this property to hold the people who are coming here. Just because of that. Because what's going to happen is they're going to see God's love in and through you, and they're going to want to be a part of that. And along the way, they're going to hear where it comes from. They're going to hear the story of Calvary's cross. They're going to have the opportunity to do some incredible things along the way. And you know what? I want to be a part of that. See, that's something that just, that excites me. I don't know about you, but it sure excites me. Man, how many more things could we do? I'm going to leave you with this today. The passage we talked about already that says simply this: abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Did you get that? Neither can you unless you abide in me. Are we a bunch of broken branches? Or are we connected to the vine? He again says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. With him you'll bear much fruit. Without him you can do nothing. Period. He goes on and says in verse 6 of John chapter 15, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. Conditional statement in verse 7. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. That's an if then. Now, I also want to put a caveat in there. That's considering you're praying right. That's considering that your prayers are asking something that's going to glorify God the Father, not because you're selfish and want a big bank account or a fancy new car. See, sometimes we have trouble delineating that. Is it something for the will and the glory of God, or is it something for your glory or something for you? He says in verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Isn't that cool? You see, I've said this, and I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. I still believe that some of our best days are still ahead of us. I still believe with all of my heart that God is willing and ready to do something very incredible in our midst. And he's looking for a few good men. He's looking for a few dedicated individuals. He's looking for those who are willing to say that it's all about the Master and it's not about me, and I will do whatever it takes to reach a lost and dying world. Let's go get them. They're over there. What's your part? You see, you have a part. We all have one. Listen, not everybody can get on a plane, go on a mission trip, but everybody can pray. Not everybody can get on that plane, but people can give. Not everybody can get on that plane, but you can do the backup work. And you know what, I'm going to tell you something? You guys are phenomenal as a church about doing just that. When mission teams go out, they go out representing, first of all, our Lord and Savior, but they also represent Central Baptist Church, and you have done well. You have done beyond what anybody could ever imagine. But this is a new day. This is a new time. God has expectations of us. let this be the greatest comeback ever. I'm going to ask Brad if he and our musicians would take their places as we prepare for this time of invitation. Now, I said before, we talked about being connected to the Lord. We're talking about connections. I'm asking you right now, are you connected to God Almighty through Jesus Christ the Son in the way of salvation? Have you confessed your sins before Him? Have you pleaded, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need You as my Savior and I'm surrendering my life to You? Have you ever done that? I put aside all the checking the cards and doing this and doing that. Salvation's not a process, it's a relationship. So have you trusted in Christ? Ask your heart that. The Holy Spirit will be your guide, because if not, the Holy Spirit right now is beckoning your heart to come to the Savior. And if that's you, I just simply want you right where you are to simply bow your head and cry out to God and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Forgive me and save me. Help me live for You. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you did that, I can promise you that that was communication with God. That was you opening the door. That was you allowing Him in. But that's only the beginning of the relationship. Now, it's about learning to love Him, learning to know Him, growing that relationship. Let us celebrate with you. Listen, if you trusted Christ, whether you're here, whether you're part of our online audience, please let us know. We want to celebrate with you. We're not going to make a spectacle out of you. That's what we're here for, man. We want you to be part of the family. Big family, like big families. Big families have issues too, don't they? I can't believe Aunt Harriet brought that potato salad again. You've heard it. 4 deviled eggs. I'd rather not lose a cousin over 4 deviled eggs. The family of God's no different. We have our squabbles, but you know what? We'll be there for each other. It makes a difference. If you've trusted Christ, please let us know. We'd love for you to be part of our dysfunctional family called Central Baptist Church. Maybe you're here today and the Lord has just said, it's time to get up. It is time to get off the sideline. It is time to get out there, to be an instrument in the hand of God, to challenge that status quo, to change the culture around us to a culture of love. And you watch what God will do. Maybe He's called you to a new level of following Him, a new level of serving Him, whatever that may be. I'm going to ask that you do that. You take care of that right now with your commitment to the Father. If you need me, I am here. If you need this altar, it is here. So would you, as we stand quietly where we are, as we sing our invitation hymn number 312, softly and tenderly, and Brad will come lead us. As you do business with God, don't let this moment escape you. Satan wants it to escape you. He doesn't want you to act or react on it. But I will promise you that you will be glad when you stand before the Father that you made the decisions that you've made today. If you surrender to Him, whatever the circumstance may be, will you do that? You spend that time with Him. Listen, if everything's good with you, you pray for those that are around you. And ask God to do incredible things in your life and in theirs and in our lives as a church. As you continue to seek the Lord, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering. Father, again, we want to come to you with thanksgiving. Lord, the provision that you have provided in our lives is beyond anything we could ever imagine. And Lord, we ask forgiveness where we take for granted the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us in a financial and even in a material way. Lord, you have been so good. So Lord, we come to that time to give back that portion that you've blessed us with. We ask that you would help us to strive to be obedient in returning to you the tithe as well as the offering, that you might bless us and bless us indeed. So bless this offering, bless the giver, as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Dean. Just a couple things, and we'll get you on out of here for today. Wanted to let you know we do have a couple birthdays coming up this week. Today is Sally Logan's birthday, so if you get a chance to see Sally, wish her a happy birthday. Wednesday, our very own Barbara Anderson will celebrate another turn around the sun. And then on Saturday, Joy Pickard, it's Jeff's wife, will also be celebrating a birthday. We don't have any anniversaries listed for this week. And as always, I want to remind you, if we don't have you on this list, we don't have you on the list. That's the reason why you didn't hear anything. So be sure to let us know so that we can let folks know when your special days or anniversaries are coming up. Just a couple things that we've got going on for the day and this week. My Disciple Life or D-Life group will be meeting at 3:30 as normal in the conference room of the Family Life Center. Choir rehearsal is a go, okay? By the way, I want to let you know temperatures are coming up. The reason that it was cool in here today is because when you have really cold temperatures like that, it takes a little time to heat a building up. And when it's kind of set for several days in temperatures like this, it's not done well, but the temperature has come up almost to about 70 degrees just since we've been in here. It's overcoming it, and it will be on today, so you should be warm as you gather. At any rate, Awana, 5:30, that's normal time, Family Life Center, Sunday Bible study with David right here at 6 o'clock, and if it's too cold, then David will send you home. Does that work? I think you'll be okay, but if it's too cold, David will say, all right, we're out of here. But nonetheless, at 6 o'clock tonight, don't forget Monday, if you're part of Steve Kelly's D-Life group, they meet on Mondays at 6:30 in the Family Life Center conference room. This coming Wednesday, as in every Wednesday, there is a men's breakfast fellowship at the Olympic Restaurant in Colfax at 10 a.m. So be sure to join that time of fellowship if you have opportunity. And then there's actually a building and grounds meeting on the 21st at 3:30 in Family Life Center Room 116. So if you're part of the building and grounds team, be sure to make a note of that. And then as far as the month of January, which we're about halfway through, the Narthex, there are some books and some materials back there. If you see any of those things, you can pick them up and take them home per our librarian, Ms. Dina Smith back there. And if not, those will be either given away or thrown away at the end of the month. We have to make room for new stuff. And although that may sound like a tragedy, I will say this. If some of you have another idea or know of somebody else who has a media center and you would like to take the balance back there, Dina would be happy to see that happen. Okay? So be sure to check out the rack that's in the Narthex, and you can take care of that. Again, that's through the end of this month. If they're here past the end of this month, they're going somewhere, and I can't tell you where. It could be the garbage. I will say that. So take them if you need them. Pass them to somebody that may know. Also, before long, in the next couple weeks, you will begin seeing the statements of giving. Normally, we put those out in the Lottie Moon Post Office out in the Narthex. You will start to see those begin to come forth as we approach the end of January, so that you'll be ready for your taxes, your year-end statements of giving. Also, the 2024 Cuba mission trip is March 1st through 8th. Now it is the 29th through the 8th. Because of flight scheduling, we are going to have to leave the night before. Instead of going out of Greensboro, we're going to have to go out of RDU. So we're having to make a few adjustments on that. But we will be going on the night of the 29th, have to spend the night in Miami. And then on the 1st, we will be going out to heading towards Santiago. During the month of February is our challenge month for Cuba mission trip. You guys have done incredible, incredible work through your financial support. As always, we ask our missionaries that are going on the trip to raise their support money outside of the church, so that money that is given through the church goes specifically to fund ministry that takes place over there. You have planted churches. You have done some incredible, incredible things. You have fed children. You fed hundreds of children for a month and a half with just what we were able to supply for them last year. I'll try to let you know a little bit more about that, but anyway, our month of giving for Cuba will be the Sundays in February. If the Lord's leading you, you can go ahead and give now if you want to. You just mark that Cuba, and I want to remind you once again, don't take away from your regular tithe and offering to do that. Remember, this is your tithe and offering are two different things. The tithe is required. The offering is something that you give. So anyway, be mindful of that and pray, because I got a feeling God's going to do some incredible things. We have four guys going this go-round on our mission trip. And then finally, I want to remind you of the ladies' prayer breakfast. So ladies, mark your calendars to join together on Saturday, the 10th of February, from 8:30 to 10:30 a.m. For breakfast, followed by a time of prayer. Breakfast will be served at 8:30, and then afterwards, the ladies are going to adjourn to the sanctuary for a devoted time of prayer for our country, our state, our community, our pastors, our church, families, and each other. So you don't want to miss out on that. Again, mark your calendar. That is February the 10th, 8:30 to 10:30 right here. If you have any questions, Mari can answer those questions for you in regard to that. Oh, one other thing I do want to mention that we do have the blessing and the privilege today of having Crossroads, okay, church. That's a church in Stokesdale. They don't have a baptistry, and we do. You'll notice there's a water level in the baptistry. Crossroads is going to be coming over here at about 1:30 today to baptize some folks as they follow the Lord in obedience to our Lord and Savior. So it's always a joy and a pleasure to be able to work with other churches to provide something that they need and that we have. So pray for them. They'll be here at about 1:30, and they will be baptizing a couple of folks from their congregation. And I'm tickled to death that we can help them out. Huh. All right, Brother David, how about coming up, mention anything I've forgotten, and see us off in prayer.
On our bulletin today, band practice tonight at 7 o'clock following the evening Bible study. So if you're part of the band, we've been off for a while from the Christmas. Tonight we're starting back, so appreciate if you guys can be here. Let me lead you in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. God, when we think about loving others, we have to realize that we would not be who we are or where we are if you didn't love us. So God, help us to take on that characteristic of Christ and love those around us, love the lost world, and reach out into our community to reach those who need to know that love. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.